A bruised reed shall he not break. How many times do we take a bruised reed and we break it and crumble up and throw it? Because it's bruised. We don't want it anymore. We're tired of it. We don't want to see the repair. We'd rather go get a new one. The American society has trained us in that. We're starting to junk refrigerators and freezers and now cars. They're coming to the point of a throwaway car. And that's how our mentality is, the Bruce Reed junket. But it's entirely opposite from Jesus Christ. A bruised reed will he not break. And that's the thing that's so precious about the matchless love of Jesus Christ. There can be bruised reeds. There can be broken reeds. And Jesus Christ comes down, though they have been steeped in sin for 30 long years or even 60, and they are bruised from top to bottom. Jesus Christ takes that bruised reed and heals it up. And that's one of the glorious messages of Jesus Christ. Some of you say, well, I wasn't brought up like this. I can never live like this. Yes, you can, because a bruised reed will he not break. But he'll rather nurture that thing back to health again and strengthen it, even to beyond, like, you know, when our bones break and they get healed up, they are actually thicker at the break than they were before time. And they will break alongside of the former break before it'll break at the break. That's right. That's Jesus Christ. And then he says, smoking flax will he not quench. Look at that. Smoking flax will he not quench. He doesn't come and pour cold water on a little ember of fire and smoking flax and quench it out. And yes, how often do we that? We think, we look at it and we say, it's not enough. It's not good enough. But somehow we find a way to, and we discourage that. We bring our bucket of cold water along and pour cold water on the little ember that's still glowing, because we consider it probably will never pass. It'll never make the grade. It'll never do it. You haven't learned enough. You haven't been brought up right. Smoking flax will he not quench. What a tremendous picture of the matchless love of Jesus. That here you have smoking flax. It's not burning. There's no flame. It's not heating anything. It's just a nuisance. A little smoke in your eyes, you know, but you're getting no benefit from it. No heat. No fire. And Jesus Christ has not come around with a bucket of cold water. Let us know tonight that if we go around pouring cold water on little smoking flexes, we are not of God. We are not of God. Now, I preached this probably here before, and I forget where I preach things because of the way I travel around. I honestly do. And so you bear with me at times, but I have to think of that scripture. I think I mentioned it here a few weeks ago about how the disciples said, shall we call fire down from heaven and devour them or consume them? And Jesus says, you know not what spirit you're of. You know not what spirit you're of. You want to seal these people's doom eternally and never give them another chance in their life to repent? Jesus Christ came to minister life and to give a man another chance. But we bring our buckets of cold water and condemn them. Men do that many, many times. God help us to know and understand the love of Jesus. Verse 3 there to finish that. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Incredible truth. Incredible truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. He had set his plan. He had set his face to fulfill his plan to provide salvation for these sinners, and nothing and all the offers that the devil gave him of the popularity and all this, I'll give if you bow down and worship him. No way. He was interested in providing salvation for mankind and providing their redemption. He wouldn't listen to anything that stopped, allowed anything to stop him. No. He was not discouraged. Yes, he was alone. Yes, the disciples all fell asleep. Yes, they all walked off and left him alone, and one of them betrayed him and all that. But he was not discouraged. He went on to fulfill the salvation that today, through that love, that hard time, if there would have been a time for him to back off, there would have been the opportunity. He could have went back to glory and said, "Forget! These people don't want it. They don't want to do it. They aren't concerned about me. Here I come to give them salvation. I'm going home." But he was not discouraged until he had fulfilled it to the full. And by, through the matchless love and grace, he provided eternal redemption for him. Because he kept on and he pressed through until he had it. And then he says, "The isle shall wait for his law." Oh, that is something. You know, I read the story of the Russian Mennonites coming to the Chaco in Paraguay, down in South America, a little country in South America. A couple of boatloads from Russia in the exile there in Stalin's era. He left a few of them go. They begged and begged and begged him to get out of there, and they left him go. Some of them go, and they went to the Chaco, which was a wasteland in Paraguay, and dumped them off, and the people starved to death, and the mosquitoes ate them, and they got malaria and died, and it was a horrible experience. But a number of them survived, and they had the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they started ministering to the Indians down there. And these Indians were naked people who were deep heathen back in 1940. It was, well, I think the first load got there in 1926, and then maybe another load came in the 40s. But back there, those two different times they came. And they were a little more on their feet. But today, you walk into the Chaco, and everything is blossoming like a rose. They really finally got on their feet, and they put up factories, and they learned what grew there and prospered. And then they took the gospel to these Indians. And the Indians come walking through the town by the dozens these days, and you can walk up to them and say, "What happened when these white men came to you?" And they said, "Oh, things greatly changed. We used to be so scared of evil spirits all the time. We were just tortured and tormented by evil spirits. And when the white man gave us the gospel, we didn't fear anymore. We lost our fear. The isle shall wait for the message, for his law." And how many times in the missionary stories that have been preached here, and the men have said it, "Why did you wait so long?" was the message after they got converted and they got saved, and they realized that the darkness and the fear that they had in the past, in their heathenism and in their sin and their corruption and their demon worship and devil worship and all that, and after they got the message of the matchless love, and they got the taste that I got when I was 15 years of age and had the same transforming experience, they said to the missionaries, "Why? Why did you wait so long?" "The isle shall wait for his law." The law of the Messiah. The law of love. See, the isles are waiting for us tonight. While many people don't want it and throw it away, that's the very solemn truth. The isles do wait for it. And I even had to think of the American Indians. Some of you know their culture. Many of you studied it in school. And you know how it was a demonized culture, filled with sorcery and witchcraft and powwowing and all that kind of stuff. And they found through the Moravians, brought them the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and the Indians got converted. This was an isle, a new isle, that waited for the law of God. And when it came, they were delivered from their fears and delivered from their witchcraft and delivered from their Satanism, and they found the matchless love of Jesus Christ. Totally transformed their lives, and they were able to love the white men who had taken their land and killed them and plundered them. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them that are with young." The gospel is the gospel of a mother with a baby in her arms. It's for people who are delicate, people who are soft, people who have a little child with them. In fact, the gospel is so much that way that except we become as a little child, we can in no way enter the kingdom. But he's a shepherd. And that was beyond anything that historically Christianity ever knew. But the gospel here that Isaiah was foretelling here will be a shepherd feeding his flock like, or he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and shall carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. And I know and you know that that was not the experience of Israel at Sinai. They were scared. They said to Moses, you go talk to God. This fella makes us so scared we don't want to go talk to him. You talk to him. And they backed off. And they didn't want to meet God. And they didn't want to talk to him anymore. Because they were so afraid and exceedingly trembled, it says. But in the New Testament era, Isaiah the prophet says that he'll be a shepherd. And he'll gather his lambs with his arm. And carry them in his bosom. The matchless, matchless love of Jesus. Matthew chapter 12, verse 49. He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. They had come to him and said, your mother and your brethren are outside looking for you. And he looked over the crowd. Look at the picture. Filled with people there. And he looked over them and said, behold my mother and my brethren. Here they are. The whole crowd's my mother and my brethren, or can be. And then he says in verse 50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And I don't know if you have ever thought of it, sisters, but every one of you have an opportunity to be married. Whole religions are built on Mary, and how they lift her up and talk about her. How wonderful she is. But everyone who does the will of the Father can be Mother Mary. And as precious to Jesus Christ as Mary was to him. Yes! That's the matchless love. And how he opens his arms to people and draws them to himself, into his family. And the same way with being a brother or a sister to him. Do you know that our opportunity tonight through the matchless love of Jesus Christ is as great as if we'd have been born in Joseph's house and would have been raised with him? The relationship is ours today. And even beyond, they didn't do so well, some of them. They were offended by him and who he claimed to be and all that. And the unbelief was so great in the area there that he didn't do many mighty works there. But today, we can be his mother and his sister and brother. Matthew 18, verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's how great his matchless love is. And that's how he cares about the little babies that you hold in your arms today. And I think primarily though he's talking about the young in the faith. The ones that have just been converted. And we sometimes work on somebody that's pretty hard to work with, you know. And I'm just amazed, you know, at how far short that we fall of this matchless love. He was so concerned about the little ones that started out in their Christian life. Some of you, this morning, bless God, there was a 37-year-old man here converted 8 weeks ago. Gloriously converted, a former Pike Mennonite boy. Lived out in sin and in the world in his own way for all these years. And he finally said, God, you do whatever you have to do. To me, I just need help so bad. He looked at his children growing up, and everything was in the world. He had married a Catholic. And one day his heart started doing some real funny things inside of his chest, and he was scared terribly. He went to the hospital, and they tried to help him and check him out and all that, and they couldn't seem to find a problem. They sent him home, and he wasn't. That was in December, and of March, just this past March, in the beginning of March, the thing hit him again, and so severe that he thought he was going to die. And he was scared terribly. He went back to the hospital, and this time, he sought after God and gave his heart to the Lord, and now they can't find what's wrong with his heart. Isn't that wonderful? And he gave his heart to the Lord, and he got converted. His testimony and the countenance of it was absolutely incredible. It was so clear. There was no question that the man had not found God. A little one. But to offend one of those little ones and say, you waited pretty long, you're never going to make it, I don't think. And not to care about those, it were better, Jesus says, that a millstone were hung around your neck and you drowned in the midst of the sea than to offend one like that who started on the way to God and found salvation, now to offend him. And seeing maybe because of your unconverted wife yet or because she's not quite where you are and all of that, we don't really care to have you around. God help us. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray? Does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek of that which is gone astray? Here the whole concept of lost sheep is built on a matchless, endless, incredible love of Jesus Christ. He says you'll leave the 99 and you'll go after that lost sheep. And by it, we see a heart of God that is just unbelievable almost to us. For him to leave 99, the fellowship of them, the companionship, all the blessings of it, and say, I'm going to leave them for a time and I'm going to go out and get a lost sheep that's out there bleeding in the thorns and the thickets and get all scratched up in the meantime trying to get it. But that's the heart of God, to leave the 99 and make that sacrifice and go out. That's the matchless love of Jesus. Matthew 23:37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have taken thee under my wings like a hen does to her chicks, but you would not. And there we get another picture of this matchless love of Jesus. Like we used to call him a clerk, with her chicks under her wings. And I'll tell you, it could have been a German Shepherd dog. That chick, that clerk would have defended those chicks for all she was worth. I mean, she'd have put up a picking and a scratching storm if a dog come around of any size. And Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that's exactly how I would have treated you. That's how I would have taken care of you. That's how I would have protected you, but you wouldn't let me do it. But that has opened the door to us tonight, to the Gentiles. And the message to you is, if you want that kind of protection, it's in Jesus Christ and his matchless love tonight. Well, I think tonight we need a revival of love. We need a revival of that kind of love in our hearts and our relationships with each other and with the sinners and with the little ones and with the hurting ones in the world today. We need to be filled with a love from God. Why? 1 John chapter 4, again, back where we started, where we had said in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. But look at this. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And if we don't know and we don't experience that love tonight, we cannot know God. Unless we are a partaker of the matchless love of Jesus Christ, we cannot and shall not know God. For God is that kind of love. He's not a human love. He's not a romantic love. He's to love the unlovely. He's to love the sinner. He's to love the godly. He's to love Sodom. He's to love Jews who rejected him. That's God. That's His love. And He challenges us to follow Him. And the love that He has gotten, He now gives to us. And we should not look at Him as, oh God, You're so high up there and You had a love that none of us could ever approach unto. No! He wants us to have that same love that He has. Even though we're not in perfection like He, but definitely we need to have it. And I'm reminded tonight of a young boy who came in our midst. What was it, February, a year ago? He was a hard case. We worked with him pretty long one night. We weren't sure whether we got anywhere or not. He went on his way home again, a couple hours drive, and seldom, if ever, came back again. I think once or so he came back again, but not for a long time. And he's gone. He went out into the world. And he's still in the depths of sin. But one thing he says, those people love me. Those people love me. And I just wonder whether that could be the testimony of all. Well, do they know that when they have been here for two times, those people loved me, even though I didn't make it, even though I didn't get through, I didn't find deliverance in Jesus Christ, yet they loved me more than anybody else ever loved me. And I realized that that was one occasion, and when probably many are not that way. But can that be said? It needs to, doesn't it? That's the message that they need. Because maybe they were just like me. Nobody ever really loved them that much. They didn't even know what that kind of love is. And tonight, we'll give an invitation here for a revival of that kind of love in two ways. The first way we will give it is if you need somebody to love you tonight, you need that kind of love from Jesus Christ. If you feel rejected by the world, rejected by the family, rejected by the community, if you feel you're lying on a junk heap tonight because you've messed up and went out in a sin and ruined and wrecked your life, then Jesus Christ has come for you. Not for the righteous, not for the healthy, but for the sick. He's the great physician, and He reaches out tonight for the unlovely, the ungodly, the sinners, and He died for you. Such a personal contact with His matchless love. I don't like to think of it just in general terms that He loved the world. He did love the world. But He loved a lot more than the world. He loved me. Personally. And when a person comes to grips with the fact that God loved me, let me tell you, that caused me to nearly flip out. I could hardly contain it. My emotions were at their absolute peak. To know and to feel and to experience after a life of rejection, after a life of thinking nobody loved me, or hardly, that know that somebody, and somebody big, loved me. I mean somebody big, somebody really important, more so than the President of the United States. The preciousness of that gripped me and changed my life. And I found out since that if I come to Him, He now gives me that same thing for others. So my second part of the invitation is that if you need that kind of love, God has it to give away. And if you're not living in victory tonight, and you can't hardly read your Bible, and you can't hardly pray, that's what you need. That love. Down in Tennessee a few weeks ago, a sister gave me a testimony that she had a childhood experience of some kind at 13, and she don't know what she had. She's troubled about her baptism right now. She, it was so little, she don't know what she had, but when she got a hold of that, that I'm talking about here tonight, she says, I couldn't lay the book down. And that only happened not long ago. Instead, men so often try to force himself and to push himself to be what he needs to be, when all he needs is the love of Jesus shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost. God gives it. He has it to give out. And he gives it out to the lost sinner tonight and to the Christian who's down and low and doesn't have much going on in his heart. We're going to sing an invitation hymn if you need a dose of that love tonight. Come forward. Let somebody pray with you. Confess the coldness of your heart or the rejection or that you've never had that kind of love in your lifetime. Let somebody take the Bible and show you personally how to get it. You will not go home disappointed if you are ready to lay yourself bare before God and let Him put His love in you. Shall we sing? 906. Just come forward and kneel here. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else wants that kind of love tonight? The matchless love of Jesus. That can entirely and totally transform your life and get that fountain flowing again and meet the very need of your heart. Are you struggling with hatred? Are you struggling with despising others? Do you need love tonight? It's available from Jesus Christ. He offers it to all free tonight. Free, shall we sing. If God has spoken to you, come. God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you. Anyone here tonight who never knew what it was to feel and know the love of Jesus? Don't go home that way. I am concerned, don't go home that way. You will find something you've never found before in filling your heart or having your heart filled with His love. Don't miss out on it in life. One more verse, nobody responds. We'll close.
One verse, just as I am. Just as I am.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Still responding, we'll sing another verse. Give you another opportunity. I would just like to confess before you all tonight my need and lack of it. God has dealt with my heart here this evening before the service, and I just ask your forgiveness if I have been cold and negligent and indifferent to your needs. I know it has happened. And I desire, first of all, that God would fully give me and restore to me this matchless love. And let it burn in my heart again for Him and for His work, and not be weary in well-doing. God's grace, I know, is available.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.